the latest edition of Believe in Titans podcast, where this week we actually have, we're playing two on two, I guess. We've got two reporters, John Glennon and myself, David Beauclair of All Titans at SI.com. You can follow us there at SI.com/NFL/Titans. And we have two former Titans today, as usual, cornerback Denard Walker from the early days of this team's time in Tennessee. And also today, Avery Williamson, linebacker from some of the more recent times. Everybody, welcome in. How's everybody today?
Doing well. Good. Doing well.
Avery, let's bring you in here first, get started. You've 2014 pick of the Titans back, or fifth round pick in 2014. A brief return to the Titans last season, just turned 30, a month or so ago, I think, not too long ago. Been dabbling in broadcasting a little bit. Are you now officially a former football player?
Not yet. I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen. So just kind of testing the waters of the broadcasting, getting some practice. And, you know, it's actually a lot more than you think. Just, you know, people – just assume, oh, you just go up there and talk, you know. Well, not everybody has the luxury of being Charles Barkley or Shaq. So you can't just go up there and just talk. You got to know your stuff. So it's a secret to everything. You know, you can't just go out there and just be great, you know, starting out. You got to practice. And that's what I've been doing, you know, just getting opportunities like this, going to NFL broadcast boot camp and just continuing to build my resume. So practice makes perfect.
So you're in Miami these days. You're working out every day, I guess, then, and kind of still waiting for the phone to ring. How daunting, how frustrating, I guess, can that process be?
It can be really frustrating, you know, just to know that in 2020? Yeah, I was, you know, playing and, you know, didn't even think that I was going to have any issues getting, you know, signed to a team. You know, I was expecting to get signed in March of 2021. And, you know, with COVID, the league, you know, complaining about, you know, the money and stuff, you know, it's just, it caused vets like myself to not, a lot of guys didn't get signed. So yeah, it's very shocking and frustrating, especially when you see guys, you know, that might not be as good as you or the same age as you, you know, getting signed, same position. It's like, man, when's something going to happen? But, you know, it's part of it. You know, I've never been on this side before. So it's all new to me, but just trying to embrace, you know, whatever God is putting forth in front of me and just roll with it.
Denard, when you got to the end of your career, was it a case of you were done with the NFL or you realized the NFL was done with you, so to speak?
Both. Both, you know, I was going into what was my ninth year. After my ninth year, and it's my fourth team, and I started moving around a little bit. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you get older. So for me, I was tired. I still had a deal kind of on the table from Baltimore. Ironically, Rex Ryan, I think, was a defensive coordinator back then. And I wasn't ready. I mentally had tapped out of the game, really, in the 2005 season, my last year in Oakland. So I knew it was time for me to get out. When you not, Avery can attest to this, if you're not mentally invested into this game, there's no reason for you to be playing. And I was done. I knew when you mentally tap out, you know that the game is done with you and you are done with the game. So for me, I knew after that 2005 season, I was going to retire. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, let's dive into the current team then, and guys who are still very much playing and whatnot. Somebody we've talked about numerous times here in recent weeks, first round draft pick Treylon Burks, the wide receiver out of Arkansas. This week we've learned a little something more. Wide receivers coach Rob Moore served up the revelation, I guess, if you will, that Treylon Burks has asthma, and that has sort of been the root of his issues in terms of getting through practice and whatnot. It's not a huge surprise that the first day we saw him at the rookie mini camp, when he really struggled, he did come out of the training room at one point with an inhaler. So it's not earth shattering news that way, but John Glennon, what do we make of this, I guess? And what do you think it means for Treylon Burks in his rookie season and going forward in his career?
Well, you know, honestly, the first thing I make of it is I say good for Rob Moore on dishing out the truth and letting us know factually, you know, being clear and saying, yeah, he's dealing with asthma, because up until now, nobody really knew. You know, there was speculation whether it was asthma, whether he was out of shape, and certainly there he was taking a lot of criticism for being, you know, completely out of shape. And we see now that at least partially that's unwarranted criticism, because he has been dealing with asthma. And I'm not saying he's in pure outstanding condition either, because that's probably a little bit of the problem. But I think it was good, you know, to get that out in the open, that we now know that there's an issue he's dealing with. You know, Mike Vrabel said he is confident that he thinks this will, you know, something that will be taken care of by training camp. But, you know, at the same time, I think you have to be concerned right now. Again, today, another OTA session, he was not there at all. You know, in recent sessions, we'd seen him not necessarily go through all the drills, you know, and of course, that first day, we all remember him leaving so early. So there's got to be some level of concern. And you know, Mike Vrabel indicated certainly that the Titans knew that there was some type of an asthma condition, but did they know that he was going to be missing time like this, you know, leading up to his first season? Because for a guy who's facing a lot of expectations, this is important time in your first rookie off season.
Yeah, it's Vrabel's sort of, you know, he's always intentionally vague to some degree anyway, and sort of trying to read between the lines. It felt like he was saying, yes, we were aware of it, but we didn't know it was going to be this bad. And, you know, Avery, I'll ask you this. When you go through the combine, you go through the medicals and everything. I mean, there's no way teams didn't know about this, right? I mean, they find out every last little thing about you, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to not know. They know if you had a cut on your ankle in third grade. So they're checking everything, man. The physical process was grueling, you know, just to everybody tugging and pulling on you. I got turf toe, so by the time I finished up with all my physicals, you know, my toe was sore because every team wanted to check it out and pull on it. So yeah, they definitely knew what the deal was with him having asthma. But then again, you look at the film and see what this kid was doing in Arkansas. You know, his body of work there. I mean, it's amazing. So you gotta have to consider, is he maybe a little bit out of shape, because what he did on the field at Arkansas in the SEC is definitely really hot in Arkansas. So it's not, you can't blame it on the weather. So I would kind of have some concerns. Maybe his conditioning is not up to par as of yet.
Yeah. And there is the reality though, that Nashville sort of the air quality here is not great. A lot of pollen and whatever else tends to hang around in the air here. Musicians talk about it when they come to town to record a record, for example. If they don't live here full time, they find it difficult often to sing as well as they want the first couple days here. You know, Denard, you've talked about the issues playing in Denver. Yeah. and dealing with the altitude there. You played at LSU, of course, you played in heat, but was when you came to Nashville, did you find the air quality? Do you have any memory of that it was an issue and
no.
You were dealing with allergies and things like that? Or
no allergies. You know, I agree with Avery. I think he's just a little out of shape right now. You know, it's hard, like I said, when you're transitioning from a college season and you're going right to the draft, you really don't get no time off. I mean, you're going right. You know, usually if you have an agent or you sign with an agent, they send you off to a lot of the performance centers to get ready for the combine. So you don't do a lot of what we call conditioning work. You're doing a lot of things like getting ready for the drills, getting ready for the 40-yard dash, getting ready to bench press 225. You're getting ready for the broad jump. You're not doing no gassers. You're not doing any kind of conditioning work. So right now, if it wasn't a problem at Arkansas, I don't think it's going to be a problem in Tennessee. So again, I think it's just conditioning, and he will get better. He's a pro, and unfortunately, everything is when you're a first rounder, you know, again, a lot of the light is on you. So once again, I think he's going to be, by time training camp starts, I think he'll be in good enough shape to get through training camp.
Yeah, and certainly, as we have said, he's a guy the Titans need to – they need to have him play. They need to have him play a lot. They need to have him play well this year. But we do have a little bit of clarity there finally. And Denard, you talk about preparing for the draft at, you know, at where at some of these performance centers or wherever you go. And it's interesting, as OTAs have continued this week, there's still veteran players who aren't there. Of course, you know, let's repeat, these are voluntary. There's nothing that says they have to be here. Per social media, we've seen a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, for example, at a camp run by Von Miller, working on some technique there. And John Glennon, I'll ask you this to start with. Should Titans coaches maybe be a little put out that they, you know, that, hey, this guy can be learning exactly what we want him to learn here? Or should they feel good that he's working with other guys from around the league and getting sort of a different perspective on the game?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I do think it's a little bit unusual. You know, and I know we've seen the last couple of years, you know, a bunch of the tight ends go to George Kittle's camp. If I recall correctly, that didn't come directly during the Titans OTAs, because I know Anthony Firkser went there last year. But this one, you know, is right smack kind of in the middle of the Titans OTAs. You know, and so Jeffrey Simmons, who hasn't been at the Titans OTAs, and nobody's going to give him a hard time because he's a tremendous defensive player. But at the same time, like, if you're not coming to the OTAs, you know, aren't you kind of, you're going somewhere to do football work, you know, and study and learn. And I wonder, if you're Terrell Williams, the defensive line coach, or if you're Mike Vrabel, the head coach, you're saying, hey, you know, Jeffrey, if you're going to go to the trouble of you know, traveling and you know, setting yourself up and going to camps and so forth, hey, come on to the OTAs when, you know, and we can talk to you here and we can coach you up on exactly what, you know, what we want from a Titans perspective. So, yeah, again, you know, no one's going to give Jeffrey Simmons a hard time about this because he's an outstanding, but it does strike me as a little bit unusual.
Yeah, these sort of position-specific gatherings seem to be coming a trend, sort of a new thing in the NFL. Avery, you know, guys have always worked out with other players from different teams in the offseason and whatnot. How much did you like enjoy that? How much did you sort of pick the brains of other guys to find out things that maybe you could incorporate in your game when you were doing those things?
Oh yeah, I mean it's huge, and I mean just to. Speaking with other guys around the league, you know, it's huge to get the advice. I mean, I was always a guy that was asking questions. You know, when I would go train, and I would go train in Arizona, you know, and I would, my biggest mentor at that time was Wesley. Wesley was my biggest mentor, but my next one was Lance Briggs. You know, I looked up to him a lot, and, you know, he would always, you know, mentor me on different things, you know, but I never was a guy to miss OTAs in my position, fifth round pick. I wasn't missing OTAs. I choose to pick up on advice from people. And I mean, Von Miller is a heck of a pass rusher. So maybe Jeffrey will pick up on a few moves from Von while he's out there training.
You got to see Jeffrey Simmons up close for a couple of weeks at least last season in practices, yeah, and whatnot. How good a player is he right now, and how much better you think he can get?
Man, I knew he was good, but I didn't know that he was that good. You know what he did last year? He definitely did some phenomenal things. I can remember the Rams game. I can't remember how many sacks he had. He had like four or five, three. Okay,
three.
But he had a lot of quarterback hurries too, but the pressure that he put on the quarterback was amazing. So that, I think, last year really set him apart as a defensive lineman. He's not only just a guy that can, you know, get in the gap and field and run, but I mean, for his size, you know, he's doing things that you know, Jarrell Casey used to do. And that playing with Casey for 4 years, I saw him do some crazy things. They're not the same body type or I guess you could say on the field type, what they do during the games. But no matter what type of guy you got, I mean, as long as they get to the quarterback, that's all that matters. But, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, he definitely – he's a top-tier D lineman in the NFL.
Denard, same thing with you. How much did you work out with guys from other teams around the league? How much did you pay attention to what they were doing and try to pick things from their games when you were playing?
Well, back then, you know, I didn't get a chance to work out with a lot of players, but I got a lot of advice. You know, I got a chance to talk to Darryl Green, who was one of my favorite players growing up. And DG walked up to me and we talked for about 20 minutes after the Washington game. And I learned a lot from him just, you know, talking, you know, in a conversation. But, you know, to kind of go back on Von Miller, when you talk about Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, you think about what you can take away when you work out with a player like Von Miller. I mean, what you end up getting from Von, you're talking about fresh off of a Super Bowl victory, but you're talking about longevity. You're talking about knowledge, and you're talking about what a 12-time, 11-time Pro Bowler. You're talking about one of the elite players at his position of all time. You're talking about a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. So when you go into that camp, you know, if I'm a defensive line coach, I love it because what you're getting from Von is you're getting the whole game. You're getting everything sometimes that a coach can't give you. You know, believe it or not, when you look at a player of his caliber, you're talking about Jeffrey. He's trying to take the next, he's trying to go to the next level of his game. And right now there's two guys in this league, that's Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons, that are considered the top defensive tackles in the league. Now, I think Jeffrey actually took a leap the game against the Rams. He outplayed AD. No disrespect to Aaron Donald, because he got a Super Bowl title. But I think Jeffrey took that step and said, listen, I'm not only an elite player, I'm the best defensive tackle in the league. That's how you're judged in this league, is when, you know, you got two guys. Let's say you got Ray Lewis on one side, and then you got, I don't know, who's a great linebacker back in the day? Okay, let's go Derek Brooks. But you know how you judge a player, you know, because when they go head-to-head against each other, you're looking at how productive they are on the field. That was the thing about Ray. Ray would always dominate on one side of the ball to the point where you didn't even know who the other linebacker was. That's what you do. That's how you elevate your game, and that's how you get respect in the National Football League. And right now, I know one of my good friends, DeMarcus Ware, down here in Dallas, he works out. A lot of guys come from other places. They go all the way to South Lake, Texas, just to get some of that knowledge, to soak up some of that information that DeMarcus can share to a lot of players. So once again, I think it's a huge addition. I think right now, again, it's OTAs. It's voluntary. It's not mandatory. You know, Avery, you can agree with this. I don't know how when you played, but I know when Jeff Fisher used to tell us, listen, if it's not mandatory, I don't want to see you if you don't want to come. I'm not going to hold that against you. But, you know, that's how some players are. But again, if you're somewhere, he's not on a beach, he's out working, that's what you want to see in your big man. And I think that's what can end up taking his game to the next level, is working out with Von.
Yeah, and you mentioned Aaron Donald, John Glenn, and I'll ask you this: you know, Aaron Donald just got a big pay raise this week. We saw the wide receiver market kind of go a little crazy this offseason. It created some issues for the Titans with AJ Brown, who of course they ultimately traded to Philadelphia. Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons, sort of a fraternity of two, I think, in a lot of ways in the NFL right now. But do you think that Donald deal is going to create some issues for the Titans now as they look to extend Jeffrey Simmons sometime here, whether it's this year or into next year?
Yeah, you know, it certainly sets a bar. It sets a precedent, you know, at the defensive line. And you know, we certainly can't say that Jeffrey Simmons is on par with Aaron Donald just in terms of what he's done over the number of years. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is probably, you know, the kind of talent that Donald is, but you know, hasn't put up the numbers for as many years as Donald has. But yeah, I think Donald is going to be making what, $20 million per year coming up in the next few years. And when you look at what Jeffrey Simmons is going to be potentially playing at during his fifth season, I think it's, you know, I'm not sure if it's even 10 or maybe it's right around 10. So you have to believe Jeffrey Simmons is going to be saying, hold on here, you know, just like A.J. Brown did this year to a much greater degree, said, look, you know, I need a new contract and I need it quick. I need to be paid like some of these top guys are. So not at the level of Aaron Donald, but certainly more than he would get in a fifth year option, which I believe is somewhere around 10.
Simmons, of course, fell to the Titans in the first round of the 2019 draft because he had the knee injury sustained during pre-draft training. 2 years later, they draft another guy in the first round, probably got him where they did because of his injury history. Everybody agreed Caleb Farley athletically probably should have been higher on most teams' boards, but there are very much questions about his health, his ability to stay healthy. Farley enters this offseason in position to be the starting cornerback opposite Christian Fulton, but second round draft pick this year, Roger McCreary is making a good showing for himself early. Veteran Buster Skrien is there. Let's go around the horn here. Avery Williamson, who do you think might be the starting cornerback opposite Christian Fulton this year, and why?
Well, I definitely know for a fact that they're going to push Caleb Farley. I mean, he's got to – being as high of a draft pick as he was, they're pushing him to be the day one guy. So that's no question. But I know that organization, they're going to go with the person that is going to get the job done. So it's really a toss-up, man. You know how OTAs and camp, and anything can change, you know, with injuries, guys out being outplayed. But Caleb Farley, he's definitely going to get the first crack at it because of where he got drafted at. I definitely think he needs to work on I feel like being locked in on every play. Just being there last year, I feel like some toughness issues, and also with the injuries. You know, the injury prone. That's something that, you know, sometimes it's just unfortunate guys get hurt, but they start looking at you a little bit crazy once you get back to back multiple injuries, and you know, hopefully you can stay healthy. Because if you can't stay healthy, you can't be on the field. But I see some competition there because you got to have a solid corner. You got to – at corner, man, you got to – in this league, it's you're going to get some top-tier guys. So you have to make sure that you have a person that can really truly be locked down on that edge.
Denard, you were a third-round pick in 1997, ended up starting the majority of games that year. When did you know that you had a chance and – you know, how comfortable were you thinking, hey, I'm going to be the guy right off the bat here?
Well, you know, it took me some time. You know, I believe me, I started off on the practice squad. They moved me down because I wasn't ready the first two games. So I was inactive. And by the third game, what happened to that team is, unfortunately, we were decimated by injuries. So I didn't have much of a choice to get, you know, I was plugged in. Pretty much Steve Jackson went down. Darrell Lewis had an ankle injury. They were bringing guys off the street. We had a guy by the name of named Tamar Bourns, who was cut by Tampa Bay. Tennessee brought him in. He ended up playing, I think, about two games, and then they released him. When they released him, I was kind of inserted. I was already the nickelback, and then they inserted me into the starting lineup. So we were struggling from a secondary standpoint. And so I didn't know anything, to be honest with you. My rookie season wasn't until after I started the Cincinnati game that I realized that, you know what, I think I'm here to stay if I can continue to be productive. In this league, it's about producing. If you can produce and be productive in this league, it can create a nice career. But again, you can't make the club in the tub. When you talk about Caleb's situation, what I do love is he's got a vote of confidence from secondary coach Anthony Midget. That's what you want to see. You want to see that your coach say, listen, he's been around this locker room. He's been around training. They talked about the transformation of his body. He's been working out in the weight room. So again, maybe there are some issues with toughness. I know when a guy's in the weight room, he knows he has to do a little bit more. And then not to mention, he knows that there's a second round pick from Auburn by the name of Roger McCreary. So, hey, once again, you got to pick it up. And I'm looking for Caleb Farley to be starting opposite of Christian Fulton. The only way that I can see he's not starting is that knee ends up setting him back. And that's what we're crossing our fingers that that doesn't happen, John and David.
You referenced Tomar Barnes, one of the great Jeff Fisher lines of all time. I can't remember
that's
the
Tupac.
Game. I can't remember the game exactly, but he committed a really, Miami. Really foolish penalty.
Yeah, kicked the guy in the face.
Yeah, and the Monday, Jeff Fisher's Monday press conference, he was running down injuries from the game. He said, and we're going to get Tomar Barnes an X-ray. We're going to see if there's a brain in his head or something to that effect. Which
you should have saw what happened inside of the building. It was very chaotic that week. So once again, Tupac was gone.
John Glennon, are you you gonna go 3-for-3 on Caleb Farley?
I would be less definitive than Denard and Avery. You know, I still think. You know, I think he gets the as you guys talked about, the first crack at it. But to me, it's such an interesting contrast between these guys, because you look at Caleb Farley and you just like, holy cow, that's the picture of the kind of cornerback you like to have. You know, he's 6'2", 200 pounds, runs a 4.3 when he's fully healthy. You say, I gotta have a guy like that. And he's got the long arms. And you look at that Roger McCreary. You know, he runs about a 4.5. You know, he's not even 6 feet tall. You know, I think his arms are 5 or 6 inches shorter than Caleb Farley, which is pretty significant. But the numbers that Roger McCreary has been putting up the last 3 years in the SEC, you know, which we all know is the best college football conference, 37 passes defended over the last 3 years. You know, I think 5 interceptions over the last 2 years. And what has Caleb Farley unfortunately been doing the last 2 years, but primarily sitting, you know, the COVID concerns. He didn't play his last year in college at all. And then last year, obviously very little time in the NFL, just 60 defensive snaps before he suffered the ACL. So that's a long time he's gone with very little play. So all those things come together to me, and unless Caleb Farley is at the top of his game by training camp and at the top of his health in training camp, I don't know. I'm not ruling out Roger McCreary, the very competitive, very productive guy who was still a second-round pick and a 35th overall. It's not like he's some undrafted free agent. So I don't know. I'm not ruling his chances out as winding up a starter.
Yeah, they didn't
draft him for nothing.
What's that? Right,
yeah. They didn't draft him for nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And you know, I agree. I think the coaches' minds are, it'd be great if Farley is the guy. But the number that gets me is, you know, 23 games played in college too. This is a guy who just doesn't have a whole lot of experience to draw on, and I worry about how consistent he can be from play to play. Whereas I think McCreary has just played so much football the last couple of years that he's probably, you know, they'll probably be a more, you know, fewer highs, fewer, you know, certainly fewer lows. He'll have a more even sort of level to his play that I think coaches will feel more comfortable with. Even, you know, maybe he can't do the spectacular things that Farley can. I think week one, I feel like it might be McCreary here, but it's you know, that's an interesting group when you consider second round pick Fulton in 2020, first round pick and Farley in 2021, and McCreary second round pick. Clearly the Titans are focusing on pass defense here. Avery, I want to ask you, Taylor LeJuan.
Elijah Molden either.
What's that?
I was going to say, don't forget Elijah Molden. Elijah Molden too, is another high draft pick.
Yeah. Exactly. Avery, I want to ask you, as we're coming toward the end here, Taylor LeJuan has repeatedly, and a week or so ago he did it again, he references how far this team has come from his early days with this franchise. You were part of those 2014-2015 teams that both tied for the worst record in the NFL. I'm curious, how dismal was the feeling? How hard was that for a young guy at that point to sort of feel good about the NFL and your chances to play in it there?
Yeah, I was literally just thinking about our draft class when, you know, we were talking about A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons, you know, I think were they were the same draft class.
They were the same, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about the talent that, you know, that draft class had compared to where, you know, me and Taylor, when we came in, you know, it's way different. You know, getting drafted to the Titans in 2014 was, you know, it was a great feeling. But then once you really get into the thick of things, you see we're really not that good, you know. And, you know, you get on the NFL team, you see all these guys, it's like, oh, shoot, you know, like, I think we're going to have a solid team. But really, when you get out there, it's like, we're not really not put together well. And we had, I think, in my first year, we ended up beating the Chiefs by a crazy amount and then went on a losing streak. You know, I don't know how many games we lost straight, but we only won two games that first year. But, you know, it just goes to show that, like, the process of having a great team, you got to have back guys that – you got to have guys in every position that are good. And they might not be, you know, pro bowlers at every position, but you got to have solid guys. And we did not have that, you know. And what they have now is completely different. You know, when I got the opportunity to go back to the Titans last year, you know, it was kind of like walking into, you know, a completely different team. You know, new building – like, well, not new building, but just new additions, new players – I feel like they actually were truly NFL team, because when I was there, it was like, like really bottom of the barrel. And, you know, we struggle, man. It's tough. It's tough when you go into a game knowing that you might not win. And, you know, when you're 2-14, you don't have a lot of confidence going into the next season. So it's definitely – it can be tough mentally, especially being a rookie. But it was tough, you know. I know losing with the Jets was tough too. So, you know, so even as a veteran, it's tough. So no matter how, what age you are, it's tough regardless. But yeah, Taylor's not lying. He's seen the process from 14 until now, and it's night and day difference. You know, they're definitely trying to win a Super Bowl and very, very close to doing that.
Yeah. And that brings me to Denard, your third year, of course. Titans go 13-3, end up in Super Bowl 34, tough loss to the Rams. You come back the next year, you go 13-3 again, best record in the NFL. What does this team have to do this year, I guess, to stay good, stay at the head of the AFC South, the head of the AFC? How hard is that for teams to stay good?
It's hard, but they have to stay healthy. That's the number one rule for this team this year, is stay healthy. Last year, I hope we don't witness what we saw last year. I mean, what is it, 90-some players, 90-plus? I mean, that's the all-time record in the National Football League.
I was one of them.
Yeah, that's tough. To look at that, I mean, you imagine when – you know, I was saying last year when we do our podcast, or excuse me, during the season, was when teams have that many injuries, the season, it doesn't end well for that team. San Francisco, it happened. That was in 2020, I believe. They went 6-10. Miami before that in 2019, I think they went 5-11. They lost, what, it was 84 players for the season on both teams. Listen, when you lose that many pieces, once again, but – it's not good. But then when you lose that many pieces and you able to lock up a number one seed, that's even crazier. And mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe what I was witnessing last year from Tennessee. But that's, once again, when you're talking about plugging in those pieces, it have to be the right pieces. And those guys got to step their game up. I think what was amazing from this team is that you have guys like Buster Screen, UT Chattanooga. I mean, he came from nowhere. And then, and all of a sudden played a great game when they plugged him in the lineup. You saw guys like, who was that? David Long Jr. He was a special teams player coming into the season. But then you're talking about one of the best linebackers. He developed into one of the best linebackers in the National Football League. I mean, these guys stepped up. And that's, again, what they have to do is they have to build off last season and come into this season with the mentality is we have unfinished business. If they come into 2022 and say, listen, what happened last year is last year. That's over. Let's continue to build. This can be a tough team to beat. I mean, they got all the pieces there. You got your defense coming back. You got every piece to your defense. Once again, who's going to be the perimeter? That's going to be the question mark. Will it be Treylon Burks? Will it be Robert Woods? Who's going to be the X factor for this team next year and getting over the hump? And a lot of that's going to come from the receiving core.
And with that, we're going to make that the final word here today. Brings us to an end of another episode, but a terrific episode. Thank you, Avery Williamson, for dropping in today. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Denard, thank you.
Thank you.
John Glennon, as always, thank you. And I am David Beauclair. Thank you all for listening. Tell your family, tell your friends, and we will talk to you again next week for Believe in Titans podcast. I am David Beauclair. Everybody have a great week.